Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Hour 4, G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. We are live at Williams Chicken in Arlington on Cooper, just north of 20. We got the expressway coming up in about 20 minutes. We'll get you updated on everything in the world of sports, including a Hall of Fame retirement announced just a couple of hours ago. G-Bag today coming up, LA Live. But right now, it's time for an edition of Football's Finest. Here's the Chief.
All right, let's continue the trivia. How many yards do you think Pat Mahomes is on pace to rush for this season? We're only two games in.
It's him and Allen, right, are the two top ones? Are they the two top rushers for quarterbacks right now?
I don't have it in front of me of who's next.
Let me go 850.
850. How many yards is Pat Mahomes on pace to rush for as it stands right now?
Because sacks take away.
Ooh. Let's go 434. 747.
1,045 yards.
Jeez. I thought I was outlandish at 850.
Yeah, 850 was like,
I was going low. I was just like, whoa, what the hell?
I know he had sacks. 60 last week, so I was like, man, this has to be pretty big at least.
Yeah, yeah. He's having to do a heck of a lot more scrambling than you would want.
I think it's him, Josh Allen, to the two top scrambling quarterbacks, and then I think Caleb Williams is in there as well.
Yeah, in terms of like how often they scramble, yeah. I know Mahomes is the leader right now. Allen, Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams, all in that mix there of guys that are doing it the most often. But yeah, he's on pace to have over 1,000 yards rushing right now, which is exactly not how you drew up the Chiefs offense when you drafted Pat Mahomes. He's great. He's efficient with the scrambling, really underrated when it comes to that aspect of his game, stealing first downs and you know, getting touchdowns as well, moving the sticks with it, but it's not something that needs to be your bread and butter. But right now, unfortunately, with the way things are going in Kansas City, he's having to do a lot more heavy lifting when it comes to running the ball, and you just don't want to put him in harm's way like that. Let alone just like you want some other guys that can actually produce for you. So, just something interesting that I saw today. Now, the other thing too, with the rash of quarterback injuries right now, Mike Florio is on Pittsburgh radio. He says, when you look at all the quarterback injuries now, there's five quarterbacks who are injured, missing time. Aaron Rodgers might be asking himself in a quiet moment if he should have just waited for a serious quarterback injury and not signed on with the Steelers. So this is just like speculation, but do you think Aaron Rodgers is maybe kicking himself a little bit? Like, if I would have just been patient right now, you could have been. He could be quarterbacking the Vikings. I mean, that was one of the teams that he was trying to hold out for a little bit, right? I mean,
and they said they didn't want him.
They said they didn't want him, but
Cincinnati.
I bet they'd want him right now.
Yeah,
over Carson Wentz, right? So,
although they're propping up Carson Wentz pretty good right now. I mean, are they really? They're trying to pretend like he's in total command. He's looking great in practice. They're talking this up like he's going to be awesome. But I also think that that's kind of what you need to do the week leading up to the game. A guy that's a little fragile mentally. We got to give him all the mental confidence in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say so. Now Aaron Rodgers has loved everything about his Pittsburgh experience. He's loved being in that organization. I don't think he would trade it for anything right now. Like, I think even if you gave him a truth serum, he'd still want to be there, even though he is in second place right now for sustained quarterback hits so far with 15. I guess Cam Ward and Patrick Mahomes are tied for number one at 17 times they've been hit through two games. Aaron Rodgers has been hit 15 times.
Yeah, you can tell he's a little bit antsy in the pocket.
Like, yes.
A lot of their big plays, I mean, they're trying to get him out of the pocket. It's the
bootlegs. That's what Kurt Warner was breaking down.
Oh, really?
So Kurt said, I think there's some flaws with Aaron. Most of his big plays have come off naked bootlegs. That's going to be a big part of what they do. Aaron's very, very good at that. When he had to drop back and play the position like we saw when he was MVP, I thought he was very uneasy in the pocket, looking to get to his checkdowns very quickly. He'd be a little bit concerned about the Steelers.
Yeah, it's how he didn't get much consideration for a big player of the week thing after throwing four touchdowns in the opener, because like eight of the throws were behind the line of scrimmage. He's been very short in air yards. So they can't run it. They can't protect him. They only have DK Metcalf as a wide receiver one, and then it's on the tight ends and stuff. So, you know, I think they got a lot of work to do if they want to compete in the AFC. And if Aaron Rodgers wants to win a Super Bowl to that point, maybe Minnesota or something else is on the cards for next year.
Now, something to monitor as we go into the Bears game, and the Bears have plenty of flaws on both sides of the ball, but one of the things that has jumped out is when you look at big plays for offenses, and the Bears are second in the league with 16 big plays. So they have 7 receptions of 20 or more yards. They have 9 rushes of 10 or more yards. Baltimore right now leads the league with 19 big plays. That's how they're classifying it. But Chicago does have 16 big plays to their offense.
Yeah.
So on the heels of last week.
And they come in the first drives.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing.
I think they've had, of the two like big plays, I think it was 4 explosive plays in these 2 drives they've had. You know, it's crazy how they've kind of got things figured out those first drives.
Yeah,
and then like they kind of go south after that. You know,
best in the league on the first drive, and then they're 31st in the league every other drive after that. Yeah. So something just completely changes for them as the game gets going. But that first drive in particular, they're cranking out explosives. So just something to consider when you saw what the Cowboys defense was doing over the weekend with the Giants.
Just goes to show you, man, against stopping the run only matters if you can stop the pass. You know, it's just, there's no value to it by itself.
Yeah, yeah, you have to be able to do both. You 100% have to be able to do both, and hopefully the Cowboys can figure something out there in that back end. Clowney getting some more pressure. Do we know what type of role he's supposed to have? Like, I mean,
Tommy,
it's early.
Said 20 to 30 snaps was his projection.
Let me check.
I don't know. Maybe we'll find out. Maybe Christy will be able to tell us in the pregame. Hopefully.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure Christy will have that. One of my favorite metrics, the havoc rate. How often, what percentage of plays a defense either gets a pressure, a tackle for loss, a forced fumble, an interception, or a pass breakup. And right now, the Dallas Cowboys defensively are 28th in the league. Just not getting the big plays.
After what happened last week, it's going to be bad for you.
Not getting big
plays.
3
quarters against the Eagles.
Now, the good news is the Bears are even worse.
All right, perfect. Woo!
So only a few teams could be worse when you sit at 28, but there the Bears are at 30. So
Eberflus's fingerprints all over both teams.
Yeah, how about that? Only 2 quarterbacks with an average depth of target below 4 yards on completed passes. That's Bo Nix and Aaron Rodgers. When you look at the next-gen spray chart for Bo Nix last week, he's got so many completions that are at the line of scrimmage or behind the line of scrimmage. And then he's got some that are just a couple of yards off the line of scrimmage. Like, they don't trust him. And it's just not sustainable. And it's exactly what it was last year. And we're thinking, okay, is Bo Nix going to be able to take that next step? Can the Broncos offense open things up a little bit more? And through 2 weeks, you just haven't been able to see it. So we'll see how Sean Payton decides
to. Do you feel redeemed by that?
Handle biz. I do feel a little bit redeemed by that.
I think
I
so.
Absolutely do. Yeah, I think the biggest surprise, though, is the Broncos defense, right?
Yes, that's been very
gosh.
Last negative week, Daniel 5 Jones, you're kidding me?
-5 fantasy points.
You kidding
for
me?
For that Broncos defense that everybody's excited to draft as the first defense off the board.
They'll figure it out right when Dallas rolls into town.
Oh, yeah, they'll kill us. Oh, I'm sure Bo Nix will have about 3 touchdowns, all of them 40-plus yarders. Yeah.
I think the last time Cowboys beat Denver was the Super Bowl.
95.
Damn.
Did you guys see the quotes from Tua, who plays Josh Allen tonight, just raving about Josh Allen?
Now, okay, I saw people were having an issue with this. Isn't this like the typical Bill Belichick thing? You get to the podium and you just talk up your like, – they could be playing the worst team in the league and he's going to talk about them like they're a Super Bowl contender. I didn't really have any – I think this is a little overblown.
I think it's overblown to one extent, like this is just Tua having self-awareness. He's watching Josh Allen, and it's not like he's talking about some jobber quarterback as if he's Josh Allen. He's talking about Josh Allen.
Who's a really damn good player.
Who's absolutely unbelievable and as fun as any player in the league to watch. So I don't mind that. I respect the self-awareness here, but it's really just an indictment on the Dolphins. It's like, that's the guy that you're playing against in your division, and the guy that you just gave a buttload of money to is talking about how I can't do half of what this guy does, but I'm making basically the same amount of money.
Like, right. Are you kidding me? What he said, but about like Dolphins fans are looking at Tua like, F you.
Yeah,
and like, we stink right now. We're talking about maybe firing the coach. Tyreek Hill is openly admitting I'm late to meetings, and other players are like, "Yeah, we didn't care when we were winning. Now we're not, and the guy's not around and getting special treatment. Like, what the hell is going on?"
Man, if you told me a football coach got injured this weekend, I would have said it was Brian Kelly of LSU.
Brian Kelly's been hit twice.
He got
two times in 3 weeks.
I don't remember
Brian
those.
I don't even
remember the one from this past weekend where one of his own guys is blocking somebody else and just completely takes Kelly out.
Brian was running to the official to get a timeout, and our tackle just drove one of the Florida players into the bench, and he was trying to, and as he was signaling timeout, he just got
whacked. Yeah, he did.
Like, he almost got knocked under the bench. He got hit that hard.
Teaching tape for a great block right there.
Yeah.
But also teaching tape to how to get your coach killed. But I guess, hey, credit to Brian Kelly. Bounced back up. Everything was fine. It's Sean McVay who's dealing with
torn... It popped his Achilles. It's plantar fasciitis.
Yeah, the fascia. Yeah. So we'll be seeing walk around with a little bit of a gimp there. But
I think these coaches, some of these media members, these faux talks, they get overconfident. They got to remember, that dude's 240 pounds. He's running about a 4.5 towards the sideline. You might just want to slide out of the way. But it's almost like they got a tough man competition going on. I'm not scared.
My favorite.
I'm going to stand right here.
My
watch
favorite.
Watch my ECL blow out.
Is when it's always the strength coach, Dukes. It's always the assistant strength coach. Back gets tackled along the sidelines and goes skidding out of bounds. And the strength coach always jumps in the air to try and avoid, you know. And there's some of them that can pull it off.
Right.
And then there's others that get clipped, and now they're face planted into the turf. But if you're the guy or gal that's jumping in the air as the guy's going underneath you, that's a confident person.
Yeah, that's a strength coach.
I've sat there and watched. Trust me, I've got out of the way. You go the opposite way.
Oh, yeah.
You just take off running the opposite way. But you got to pay attention. You know, a lot of people don't pay attention down there.
I'm getting up there, and I'm not as quick as I used to be. But if I'm sitting down in Oxnard along that sideline, a play's coming my way, I'm out of there. Yeah. You're going to see me pop I'm in Cobra Kai.
Yeah, it's crazy. The speed of the game is unbelievable.
Yeah.
All right, it is a thirsty Thursday. Let's go ahead and welcome in a Week 3 installment. Guess that's spread. Here we go. Prep your bodies, boys and girls.
I've been
Dawson,
so good at this.
You suck at this.
We have the battle of backup quarterbacks in Minnesota. Wentz versus Browning.
Ugh.
Guess that spread.
This is in Minnesota.
This is Bengals in Minnesota. They're favored by 5. Vikings.
Wolchuk.
I'll just give them the 3-point home.
Broadus.
I'm going to say that it's Minnesota -2.
Minnesota is favored by 2.5.
Yeah,
so you guys were right there.
Football guy.
In the money. You have the Steelers. Aaron Rodgers going to Foxborough to take on Vrabel and Drake May. Broadest guess that spread.
That would be – is this Pittsburgh at New England, you're saying?
Pittsburgh at New England.
I would say New England +3.
Okay, so New England home dog.
I'm saying New England home dog at home.
Yeah, I'm going to go Patriots -2.
Dawson?
1.5. Steelers.
Yeah, you nailed it. There he is. Steelers as a road favorite.
Road favorite, yeah.
In New England. You have the hot Colts going to take on Cam Ward, the number 1 overall pick in Tennessee. Wolchuk, guess that spread.
We have Colts -4.
Dawson?
Man, I don't know what to think of the Colts. Divisional game. They got to be favored.
Yeah.
4.5.
Colts -6.
Dawson nailed it. Road favorites at 4.5 right there.
Damn.
All right, let's get you Rams and Eagles. This is going to be a fun game, huh?
Yes, this is probably for NFC supremacy.
Rams go to filthy. Broadest guess that spread.
This is an early game. This is one of the noon kick games. This could be trouble. How about this one? Philadelphia -2.5.
Dawson?
It's in L.A. then?
No, it's in Philly.
3.5. Olchuk?
Yeah, I think it's Eagles 3.5. I'll go 3, but I'm taking the Rams to win.
Yeah, 3.5. Eagles favored right there. Yeah. Boom. On fire.
That's 3 in a row.
You are on fire. Yeah, yeah, you're absolutely crushing it right now.
As good as I've ever done. Yeah.
We start with
that GPT.
We start with the
Dawson's a sneaky guy. You got to watch him, everyone. He's
okay, the Steelers won. I did a podcast about it last night.
Oh, there's no question.
But the other two, were honest.
Hey, let's do a little podcast. Let's do the odds this week. What do you say? I'll run it.
Let's go through all of them.
Dawson every week is like 6 of 8. You know, the rest of us, I'm like, give me the road
7.5. Yeah, jealousy doesn't look good on you, Brian.
It's not, I hate it. I hate the fact that you're always right about this crap.
Dawson, we got Denver.
I don't even know why we play this game, Chief, to be honest with you. I look like a damn buffoon.
Denver's on the road in L.A. taking on the Chargers.
Oh, here we go. Spread. I talked about this last night in the podcast.
Chargers -2.
Well, Chuck. Who is it? Who are the Chargers playing?
Broncos.
The Broncos.
Your Broncos.
Yeah, I unfortunately think it might be the Chargers that end up dethroning the Chiefs, not the Broncos. I'll take the Chargers by 3.
Chargers minus 3.5.
2.5.
Oh.
Chargers
by 2.5.
Did Dawson
get it right?
No, half point off. We split it.
Half point off.
Chiefs go to New York to take on the Giants. Broadest guess that spread.
Ooh. Chiefs -5.5.
Dawson. Let me get 4.5. Old Chuck.
Chiefs 5.5.
Chiefs 6.5. Oh, Sunday night football. And the Monday night banger, Detroit goes to Baltimore to take on the Ravens. Old Chuck.
Wow, that's a good game.
Guess that spread.
In Baltimore?
In Baltimore.
Ravens 3.5.
Dawson?
Baltimore -4.
Broadus.
Ravens 2.5.
Man, you guys are getting pretty damn good at this, huh?
Trying.
Yeah. Ravens by 4.5 at home.
Ugh.
Thank you, Chief.
Yes, sir.
Always fun. Every Thursday, he lets us guess the spread. We're live at Williams Chicken here on Cooper, just north of 20 in Arlington. Come by, get your State Fair Classic tickets. You got Grambling and Prairie View A&M going to do it for the 100th time on the fairgrounds. You can get tickets right now thanks to Williams Chicken for hosting this. And we'd love to see you here, Arlington. You're getting off work. It's a great place to be. Love to fellowship with you. We got about an hour and 40 minutes of show left going all the way till 7 o'clock before we hand it off to the Fan After Dark. We'll hit the expressway and get to the Jake Ferguson show coming up next here. Then we'll get the G-Bag of the Day in L.A. live here on 105.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
5-3 the Fan. All right, welcome back. It's the G-Back Nation here on the Fan. We are live in Arlington, and it is time now for the Jake Ferguson Show. Every Thursday at 5:20, Jake's been joining us, and apparently they're just wrapping up some meetings, so Jake will walk down the hall and join us at any minute now here on your home of the Cowboys, 105 through the Fan. The Expressway is brought to you by the On-Time Experts. Segment is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate your vehicle today at carsforkids.org. Clayton Kershaw announced this will be his final ride. Had the breaking news a couple of hours ago. In August, as the rotation began to round into form, Kershaw went next level in his 18th season, winning all 5 of his starts while posting a 1.88 ERA. All told, he is 10-2 with a 3.53 in 20 starts this season, despite throwing the slowest fastball of his career. He has been really good for the Dodgers. And after getting hurt last year, he was unable to participate in that World Series run. He did pick up his second World Series ring after also winning in 2020. But this appears to be setting up to be the perfect storybook ending if he can get out there in the postseason and sit some guys down there probably with his, what do you think he's throwing these days, 90, 91 mile an hour fastball somewhere in there. But Clayton Kershaw, great career at Highland Park.
Phenomenal.
And it's unfortunate he was never able to, you know, come back home and pitch for the Rangers like I think we've been hoping for probably the last five or six seasons. I remember even talking about this when Bassick was still on us with middays prior to 2019. But just wasn't meant to be, but really cool he got to start and finish his career with one organization. Joins a very, very short list of modern-day 21st century athletes, of which Dirk Nowitzki and Kobe Bryant are in. Spent your entire career in one place and became a champion. All righty, so you have that Clayton Kershaw news. You have the playoffs to look forward to. But, of course, the Rangers are not looking forward to the playoffs now because they couldn't score runs again last night. As much as Wolchuk wants to blame it on their ace, Jacob DeGrom, it was pretty much the offense's fault again.
Yeah, I don't think it's as much as blaming it on DeGrom as it's, you know, I'm holding him to a high standard. And I was disappointed in the biggest game that he's ever had that – You know, I'm going to go ahead and say that I'm holding him accountable, and I wanted more from him, and I was disappointed. Clearly, I think the entire season, it's the offense. The pitching's been fantastic. That's why we're at this point. The offense hasn't held up their end of the bargain. They never lived up to what we thought they could be, and the pitching has kept them in the hunt. But it's a bummer that Merrill Kelly, who had been so darn good, unfortunately, you get down early, it's 6-0, they claw back, it's not enough. And then yesterday, first inning, boom. Two runs. You're down 2-0 before you can blink. And I was thinking you were going to get like a vintage DeGrom outing where he goes like 7 innings. Maybe he's flirting with the no-hitter because he had really pitched well against Houston this year. He just didn't have it. And I understand all the reasons that we gave earlier, but I do think it's kind of interesting. Like we just feel differently. And it's different sports and it's different teams, but like Ranger fans were not coming at Jacob DeGrom like, what the hell? That's the big money guy. That's the guy that you paid for moments like that. But he kind of is seeming to get a pass, and I wasn't willing to do it. But it's also the Rangers fan in me that's angry, hurt, and frustrated. I wanted this team to make the playoffs, and you just got swept on the road by Houston, and it was honestly disgusting to watch.
It's such a small sample size in baseball. Even for a couple of months, you really can't get a feel for how good a guy is. I think there's so much luck involved in a pitching performance. Now, last night they were on his ass, and even the non-hits looked, you know, or sounded, I guess, as I was listening to the first three innings of that game on my drive on back to Sunnyvale from Argyle last night. But they were talking about on the radio cast how hard the foul balls were off the bat. But I feel good about him next year. I think he's going to be one of the top 10 pitchers. You know, I just you didn't have it in the biggest game. It's not like a game where like football or basketball or soccer, like your effort level and your discipline and your determination has a lot to do with whether you win or lose.
Right.
We don't
right.
have this going on in a football game where we're going to pivot to this. I'm a quarterback. I'm not throwing it well. I'm going to pull it down and run to make sure we get this first down. It's just like pitching is kind of a three-point shooting contest, and you never know when it's your night to go 2-for-15.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, absolutely. And for next year, it'll be interesting to see how they try and baby him in an extra year removed from the injury. Hopefully he's more ready to go, but he's a year older. So, but and I think they would have tried to give him a little bit more time this year had they played themselves into some level of a division lead to afford opportunities to grant him, you know, skipping of starts and stuff like that. But they never got there. They've been chasing all season yeah. long. So for next year, I mean, you'd like to think that they'll be in a better place to where, hey, if he does have to miss a start a handful of times throughout the year just to keep him fresh, because you do want to get the best version of him when it's right now time.
Yeah, it's 29 starts, and I feel like the not-as-good Jacob DeGrom showed up about 8 or 9 starts ago. Mm-hmm. So, you know, how could you do that? Ideally, you would be in a season where you were so far out of it or you were so far in it. But now you've gotten to this point. He's healthy. You feel like, let's get him fresh. But I think that's one of the first questions I have for Sandler tomorrow night and for the team going into the offseason. Will you change, or would you think, and maybe Wolchuk can speak to this, you haven't pitched many innings for 3 years. You're tired at the end of 2025 as you approach 175 innings or so. Will that be the case next year because you're a year older? Will it be worse, or will it be better because you've built up the arm strength and endurance? Like, that's something baseball really pays attention to,
mm-hmm.
is your workload year to year. And the idea is you build up 1 year, you can do a little bit more the next year. But I wouldn't chance it with a guy about to be 38 years old, 37 years old.
Yeah.
I
mean,
he is up there. But
even the age thing, like we've seen other pitchers do great things. Justin Verlander has Tommy John in 2020. He's older than what Jacob deGrom is, and then comes in as a huge the ace for the Astros to go win another World Series. Like, and Ranger fans are texting in. Some are agreeing, some are not, and that's fine. But to hold a guy accountable that's supposed to be the best pitcher in Major League Baseball, it's your biggest game wearing a Texas Rangers uniform, and you go out there and did not perform. I'm sorry for being critical. Actually, I'm not sorry. Maybe you should we just have different standards. It's fine. It's okay. It's not saying the offense shouldn't have come through and been better. They should have. Jacob deGrom's win-loss total should have been way better this year. He pitched his ass off, didn't get run support. I'm specifically talking about last night, make or break, must-win game, season on the line. And that dude didn't have it, and it sucks.
But it wasn't anything he can control, you know?
Like, how is it not something you can control? Nathan Eovaldi raises his level of performance in big games. He's big game Nate for a reason. These pitchers can control that. You're acting like it's just luck when a pitcher's good. That's not true.
I mean, sometimes
big game pitchers are big game pitchers for a reason.
Yeah, and if you're not, I wouldn't say I'm going to be mad at you if you don't do it. You know, I get mad at my players if they, like, don't know the play call. Like Nelly Cruz, who curiously you've caped for over a decade, I get mad when the manager tells you no doubles, and then the very next pitch you go back into a defensive alignment.
Yeah, I've never caped for that, but you're not in the World Series if you don't have ALCS MVP Nelly Cruz doing what he did.
I seem to remember the first argument we got into, Wolchuk, was you telling me I need to move on from Nelly Cruz's mistake.
No, not the mistake. You need to move on from your hatred of Nelly Cruz. That play, we will always, always make us sick to our stomach. But you're not in that position if it's not for what Nelly Cruz did in the ALCS against the Detroit Tigers.
Well, I guess we're just going to have to agree to disagree on that one, Chuck. I'm a little bit disappointed in you. As we broadcast live from Williams Chicken here on Cooper in Arlington, we're just north of 20.
I thought it was a good discussion myself.
Standing by for Jake Ferguson. I did it as well. You know, and I don't know what you hold your athletes'
feet to fire on. I see sports passion. I like that.
I really like what Wolchuk did in the first hour when he said it's interesting who we choose to go after.
Yeah, kind of pick and choose here.
Yeah, we're we got all sorts.
I'm just trying to come with that same fire and energy for the Rangers here as I would on a Cowboys Monday after they go and lay an egg in the biggest game of the season.
They needed that game so bad last night.
Okay, let's see how much of the G-Bag of the Day we can get in here. What do you say, Lucius? Let's get the G-Bag of the Day champion going here as we wait for Jake Ferguson on your home of the Cowboys.
This ought to be fun.
Got me working hard.
Uh-huh.
Got me working hard right here.
Watch that phone, Lucius.
Yeah, look, I think he's going to be in the studio.
That's right.
I don't know if it's the studio or the phone. I am really unaware, so I'm looking at both.
Ooh.
Yeah, so...
You good luck to L.A.
Good luck to L.A.
Good luck to L.A. Hey, back in the building. All right, G-Back of the Day. We do it every weekday on the Fan at 5:30. Let me check. Nope. It's presented by Berkey's Plumbing, AC, and Electrical. My name is Lucius Alexander. You could call me L.A. Lucius is cool. LaPaul, all that good stuff. Little Paul. Hit me up at Lucky Lucius P on social media if you see something that we should be playing for G-Bag of the Day. Not every cool thing that you see on the internet, fam. Not everything that you see cool, all right? And how about this one, too? Lucky Lucius P on Threads. I like the Threads.
Threads, yeah, you're good on Threads.
Or you can follow us all if you find G-Bag Nation on Twitter. This is day 3 for this champion audio, so I'm told. The great Teddy Atlas. I love this guy. This is live from Vegas, post Canelo Crawford fighting, and he was charged up.
Bud Crawford came into Las Vegas, went up 2 weight classes to challenge Canelo Alvarez for the undisputed super middleweight championship, and he won it running away. Teddy, how impressed were you by his performance tonight?
You kidding me?
You kidding me?
Beautiful display. That's the sweet science. Yeah. That's what it is. That's what we talk about when we talk about the sweet science. All night long, Crawford made Canelo a day late, a dollar short.
Yeah.
All night. Talking about the bigger man, the advantage of the bigger guy. How about the faster guy? How about the smarter guy? How about the quicker guy? How about the guy not only won on the outside, but even beat him at his own game on the inside?
Yeah.
Please, Timmy, I don't want to say no more.
Look. You can't stop God's plan. I told everybody at home that would listen.
Please, Timmy.
Anybody that was out there, I told you. I've been in the ring with Bud Crawford. He's a phenomenal fighter. He was something different years ago. He's a lot better fighter now. What a damn performance he put on tonight. What a clinic. He beat Canelo in every avenue. Inside, we was talking about strength. He was stronger than Canelo. We talking about power. He took his power well. Canelo was very timid when he was approaching Crawford.
Damn right he was timid. I mean, the words, like, the best thing I could do is not throw. Put my hands in my pocket.
Gotta love
dude,
that
gets
guy,
so
man.
Fired up.
God, yeah, that's great.
I don't know when he's going to check out, but I think it will be immediately after a boxing
good
match.
Good God, bro.
Right there,
only
Teddy
you,
Atlas.
Only you.
Damn right he was timid. Oh, here I come, Jesus. Peace man. Out.
This man almost killed
on Netflix.
You trying to kill me. Oh, the Dick Wolf of radio just killed Teddy Atlas exactly. After a boxing match.
Jeez. Just a prediction. Just something to look for.
He said a prediction. Holy crap.
So now we got to watch the end of every Teddy Atlas interview.
He might want to take his pre-fight aspirin, have a defibrillator on the scene.
Jeez. Claire.
Oh, okay. Hold on. Might have something for you. Talk amongst yourselves.
All right, it's the G-Bag Nation here on 105 through the Fan. We're in the midst of the G-Bag of the day. I think we might have Jake Ferguson.
He's going to be calling in on the phone.
Getting ready for the Jake Ferguson show right here on your home of the Cowboys.
Jake Ferguson Mavs show? Have signed Dennis Smith Jr.
105 through
the Fan. Oh, the Mavs signed DSJ.
He's back?
Heck yeah.
1 year deal.
He's
10
back.
Years later. I know fans were asking for it, okay? The Jake Ferguson show brought to you by Miller Lite, the official beer of your Dallas Cowboys. And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Doing amazing, man. We're in Arlington. We're excited about that win. We were actually just talking boxing and the Canelo Crawford thing. Did you watch that last weekend?
I did. I caught a little bit of it. I didn't stay up though till the end, but I was watching the first little bit.
How much of a boxing MMA guy are you?
You know, I'm not huge. I'm not a huge. I've gone to one MMA fight. I really like that over boxing, but at the same time, I think I'm still a fan of boxing. I'm not sure yet. I got to go to a couple more.
I mean, you did get put to sleep by that one. I kind of feel you. You know, I think the MMA has more unpredictability and more like almost guaranteed violence. You know, when I'm tuning
chaos.
In for a fight.
Exactly.
More chaos. How are things going for you guys? You appreciate that light practice from Shotty yesterday?
Yeah, that was huge. You know, just time to get our bodies back. But at the same time, you know, we switched our schedule. So now Fridays we're actually running and doing more of a real practice. And then Saturdays more of just a light walkthrough. So It's good. So you're still getting your work, but at the same time, you know, we played 93 offensive snaps, 92, whatever it was. So just a way to get our bodies back.
Yeah, and you were putting in a lot of work. I saw you're leading all NFL tight ends with 14 catches through two games. So congrats on that. How are you feeling out there?
I had no idea, but that's awesome. I feel great. You know, I feel like I'm honestly in some of the best shape I've been in my life. Like we said last week, cutting out the Oreos, but I know I feel great.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say the no Oreos are paying off already, man. Is it worth
indeed, it? Indeed, indeed. It doesn't mean I'm not thinking about them, though.
Oh, I believe it, man. Hey, I wanted to ask you about, and we know Dak loves that scene, but it was working for you guys on Sunday, and Dak had that thing ripping before you were even turning. Boom, you turn around, ball's right there. What makes that so effective between you two?
Yeah, so I think with that, you know, it's just trust and it's reps, but at the same time, like, he's kind of got me cued. And we talk a lot about that play, and we talk a lot about the seam ball. But funny thing is, we kind of knew that Aubrey just needed us to get past the 50.
Yeah.
So he had mentioned something in the huddle, and I told him, I'll see you in the star.
Jake Ferguson here on 105 through the Fan. Now, did you feel like that was a nail biter, like the streak was in danger, or do you have that level of confidence in your QB and your kicker?
Yeah, I mean, I've got all the confidence in the world in Dak. You know, just the man he is, the worker he is, you know, first one in, last one out. And then when it comes to Aubrey, you know, the dude's just slinging it. And I've seen him kick some crazy balls at practice. So, yeah, I mean, the confidence is definitely there.
Hey, Jake, you mentioned that. Is that something that you guys, when you got the ball back with 25 seconds, Was it something you guys talked about on the sidelines, or was Dak saying, okay, just kind of get me some stuff here? Was he visiting with you guys what you needed to do in the huddle, or was this coming off the sidelines?
Yeah, you know, he kind of paces back and forth before a drive, and he was saying, you know, we're built for this. And then at the same time, he's like, well, we're only down three. That's too much time.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, there was not a single point in that game where I was like, oh, shoot, we might lose. So, you know, it was go time from the start.
How did that locker room celebration compare to others that I'm sure you guys have that you've gotten to experience in years past? But that seemed like a damn good time.
Yeah, that was a fun one. I mean, just the guys and you know, that first win every season is always, you know, it's nice to get that thing out of the way. It's nice to get that thing going and get that win column rolling, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. How does Schottenheimer rank among coaches when it comes to, like, pregame speeches? Is he the guy, like, before you guys run out onto the field, or who is that guy?
Yeah, he's pretty hype. I got actually a funny story. After he might not like that I say this, but after our first preseason win, we came in and, you know, we always pray. And so he was like, I got to pray this time. And he starts praying and he's like, Lord, please help us in the red zone. And then he comes back the next thing. He's like, guys, I apologize. I was asking the Lord for to be better in the red zone. And so we got that. And now we just got a normal prayer. But, yeah, I mean, he starts it off good. And then we always got one of the captains for that week, you know, breaking us down. So it's always pretty hype.
I mean, it kind of looks like God might have been listening that night, though. You guys got it going on in the red zone.
I think he was in. Yeah, God knows our heart, that's for sure.
Hey, we were kicking this around earlier this week, but would you be down to be the quarterback in a tush push situation?
Ah, man. You know, I'm not a fan of the tush push. I'm more of a fullback dive, getting 22 personnel, 23 personnel. Earn it the hard way, old school. Yeah, I don't know how I feel about tush pushing.
So you would have voted this tush push out of the game?
No, I wouldn't have voted it out of the game. I'm just, I don't know. It's just, to me, it's a little soft, in my opinion, because, I mean, I don't know.
I'm with you.
I'd rather just go earn it.
Yeah.
Formation, you know, run it.
Amen. Like Brandon Marshall once told me. Do it the right way.
Do it the right way.
Damn it, do it the right way.
We don't need these gimmicks.
Right. That's right.
Jake.
Yeah, I don't need any flashy rock.
Dak gets a lot of credit for the way he works his cadence and different things like that at the line of scrimmage. How much easier is that to execute for a home game as opposed to a raucous road environment?
Yeah, home games are awesome. You know, I mean, you can hear everything at the line. I can hear what he's saying. I can hear what other guys are saying. And sometimes away games aren't as loud as you may think. But, when you're in a hostile environment, it's definitely a little bit less dialed in on the cadence.
Is it harder to do all the different, like, pre-snap motions and things like that, moving guys around if it's super loud in a road environment, or is that maybe overstated?
No, I wouldn't say that because, you know, they're already built in. They're built into the play call and such like and stuff like that. But it's harder to like, you know, draw them off sides or get them on their heels sort of thing with your cadence. You know what I mean? Like, use their cadence to your advantage.
Jake Ferguson here with you on The Fan. Now, did you grow up with feelings one way or another on the Bears?
Nah, man, I don't. I hated the Packers and I hated the Bears. I didn't like either of them. I was a Raiders fan for some reason.
Jake Ferguson.
I couldn't even tell you why.
Jake Ferguson here with you on The Fan. Now, rank the reasons that you're getting so many catches. My four suggestions: the awesome wide receivers, healthy Dak, new offense, you being healthy, or other. What's the most important factors here for you?
Yeah, I think that you hit him right on the head. Like having CD, having GP out there, it's it takes a lot off of me, and that's awesome. But then also just like the off season, this off season I attribute a lot to just, you know, on and off the field with Dak, on and off the field with our receiving core, getting to know those guys and just making sure we're comfortable in our offense. And then, you know, just once it comes game time, just let loose.
I wanted to give you a scouting report since I know you're eating clean and you might have seen them on TV. The Reese's flavored Oreos, you're not missing anything on those. but the Oreo flavored Reese's are fire. You're going to want to check those out in the offseason.
Wow. Wow. That's interesting. That's good intel.
Yeah, yeah. Just Oreo flavored get your plans Reese's there for mid-February or so.
Jake, we're at Williams Chicken in Arlington right now. How do you power rank the chickens in terms of breast, thigh, leg, wing?
You know, believe it or not, I'm a thigh guy.
Yeah, respect. There you go. There you go.
Yeah. This man that knows his chicken.
Yeah. I'm a thigh guy. Yeah, I don't mind the breast. I honestly don't discriminate on the body part as long as it's a good chicken.
Damn right.
Now, final question for me. You mentioned the crazy kicks from Aubrey in practice. What are we talking about there?
You know, just, you know those soccer guys, they just sometimes, like, it looks like they're kicking a can or something. You know what I mean? It looks like they're just tiny, tapping something, and then the ball's gone. Like, I don't know if you guys know, I'm the second string long snapper.
Yeah.
So I've been doing some field goal stuff, and I don't like being in front of him when he kicks it.
You think he's going to kick it right up in the rear?
Yeah. Yeah. It bombs over Baghdad. There's like whistling going over my head every time he kicks it.
Need hazard pay for that.
Oh, man. All right, Ferg, I got our fan question for you, and this is from Checker. He wants to know, what type of work do you do to improve on catching the football besides the jugs machine?
Oh, besides the jugs machine, I've got a pre-practice routine where I go out there and I go through tennis ball drills, tracking it with my eyes, and then I go to a football, and it goes to one-handed catches. It goes to what I call a slam catch, which is like going up and grabbing it, and then what I call a beeline catch, and that's like over-the-shoulder breadbasket style. And so I do that both sides along with the tennis ball, and then I also have like four different strong hands drills where I just work on like catching with my fingertips and stuff like that.
You're the man, Jake. Thanks again. Cowboys, Bears, 3:25 on Sunday. Give them hell. We'll be pulling for you.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you guys. Talk to you next week.
Salute. There he goes, Jake Ferguson here on The Fan, brought to you by Miller Lite, official beer of the Dallas Cowboys. You're getting off work. We're live at Williams Chicken in Arlington, just north of 20 on Cooper. Swing on by. You can get tickets to the State Fair Classic. Back into the Pimp Cup we go. Lucius has...
Yeah, that's cool. That's all right. That's all right. That's all right. Let's wrap this up here. Shout out to Ferg, man. Out there praying for the Dallas D. He said they were praying for the D, dog.
He was on fire with some drops in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't discriminate on body parts.
Yes, 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 100%. That reminded me of Jameis Winston. Remember, he said he's praying to God to deliver him from the pick sixes?
The pick sixes.
Yeah, I love Jameis.
I think he had 30 picks that year. Somehow.
God, dog. Yeah, I'll be praying too, man. Lay some hands on me. Get that blessing oil out. All right, where we left off? We already played Teddy Atlas, the winner.
Winner.
Yeah. I probably won't be doing LA Live today, which is, hold on. Yeah, which is sponsored by Greystone Roofing and Construction. That is greystone-roofing.com. Your boy,
we can hit it to the top if you want.
Okay.
Up to you.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you know, what y'all got planned? I don't know.
Nothing, man.
Nothing, man.
No, I mean, it's usually around the bases, and unfortunately, we only need about 2 minutes for a funeral tonight.
Damn.
Yeah. I'd prefer not to.
Yeah, we're out here eating chicken with peppers. Yeah. That's what we're doing.
As you should.
As we should.
As you should, sir. All right, let's get back into biz. Let's go to Panthers Radio, 92.7 WFNZ, the Kyle Bailey Show. Steve Smith Sr. jumped on and totally disrespected Charlotte, the whole city. The Panthers fan base and everything just disrespected them. They were talking about Xavier Leggett.
Yeah.
And he's been kind of like, you know, just not looking good right now. There we go.
You know, he's just figuring it out, or are those mental mistakes that he needs to be criticized for?
Well, here's where the football player in me is going to come out. Mm-hmm. That's what this city does well, is bitch and complain.
Mm. Okay.
See, you forgot. See, when we went to the Super Bowl 2003, I never forgot how people treated us my rookie year when we was 1-15.
Okay.
Now, I know some people not going to like to hear this, but if you're going to ride and die with your team, ride and die. That's probably the problem with this weak-ass city, is the fair-weather fans.
Jeez.
Woo! Kyle Bailey.
Weak-ass city.
Weak-ass. Getting hot in there.
Damn.
He's kind of subtweeting the host right there, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh.
That is strong coming in from Steve Smith. Always keep you on your toes.
Yeah. Don't leave your girl around, Steve. True player for real.
Oh, my
God. True player for real.
Especially if she's in the band.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No. Yeah. Sometimes you love something so much, you want to be critical of it so it can get better.
Nah, right. You're right. You're right. You're right. You're right. That's the name of the game, Dawson.
Yeah.
Speaking of Dawson, here you go, Mr.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm glad you said something. That Tolo thing. Well, you know, here we go. Dawson is a big fan of Tolo Tovash. Tovash, shout out to you, fam. Shout out to you. Dawson is a big fan of yours, bro.
Tovash is in the house. Salute to Tovash.
Yeah, Tovash.
One of the longest Tolos. The longest Tolos.
Wow. Pretty well endowed.
I mean, does play a good center field. That's what I hear.
What a great intro right there. One of the longest Tolos, by the way.
It's clearly AI. Jesus.
What else we got? I mean, longest running Tolos is what I meant. I think he listened to 105 when it was live 105.
Yeah, no, he has been here forever. I think we started at the same time. Yeah. Let's go to ESPN First Take. Mad Dog Russo.
Ooh.
Not a fan of that late start of the Canelo Crawford fight. I remember looking over at Kevin. It was like the fourth round. And I said, bro, it is 1 o'clock on the East Coast right now. They got to change this up a little bit if they want to be successful at it.
Yeah, I mean, the fight finished at 1 a.m. here.
Come on, bro. It was 1 a.m. there, so 2 a.m. on the East Coast. Come on, dog.
And I don't mind it as long as I know going in what time the fight is going to start. I can plan for it. But when it says 9 and it's 11:45, jammed up.
Yeah.
You're going to freaking have a fight on Saturday night. You can't start it at 12:50 at night. I mean, my God almighty, that fight, then you walk into the ring into 12:30. I'm in bed. I've been watching Texas A&M and Notre Dame. I've been betting and watching LSU against Florida. I have watched the baseball. I want my bread and cookies at 11. Watch the fight go to bed. I was sleeping. I had golf the next day. I bailed out. I stunk.
Yeah.
Can't freaking join it. But I played golf the next day. I had to be fresh in my... I don't want to keep my wife awake. And you got to sit there and you're going to start that fight at 10 minutes to 1 in the morning on a Saturday night. And I heard the excuse was the preliminaries ran too long. Who cares about the preliminaries? I didn't find the fight to see some guy got a shooter I've never heard of. I bought the fight for these two. That is a disgrace. That's embarrassing. If they started a major sporting event, they claim, at 1 a.m. for the East Coast fan, that's not right.
I love it. It's about time the East Coast takes some comeuppance. Yeah. You know, we've been dealing with their time for way too long. Matt, but he's got a good point. I think the great thing was it's on Netflix.
Yeah.
And so it's so easy to be on demand. Just wake up, watch whenever you want. I didn't watch it until Cowboys tailgate the next day.
I mean, I wouldn't even admit that if I were you.
Well,
but yeah, I was tired. Business. Yeah, I get you.
I was tired.
I get you, dog. It was a late fight. I get it.
I said, honey, the fight's about to start. And I thought that meant she was going to change it. And then I woke up, it was 4 a.m. So got it the next day.
I get you, dog. Wasn't it? Today's Thursday. Yeah, yesterday was a church day. I pray you got your blessing. Shout out to my Reverend Dr. Pastor Freddie Haynes. Get well, sir. Get well, sir. Get well. We have a youth pastor right here that has a pretty cool chant that I think is probably going to sweep the nation.
Here we go. Come on, ready? Virginity is cool. Come on, come on. Virginity is cool. What up? What up? Virginity
what up,
is
what up?
Cool. He's got it. He's got it. Virginity is cool. Come on, come on. Virginity is cool. What up? What up? Virginity is cool. Come on, come on. Virginity is cool. Come on, come on.
Virginity is
cool. Come on, come on.
Virginity.
One guy's real into it.
Come on, come on.
Virginity is
he's a big version.
What up? What up?
Virginity is cool.
All right, thank you.
She couldn't even get the sentence out before she started laughing.
No, that's what are we doing?
Gotta love a good born again youth pastor who's brushing off some skills.
Man, I'm gonna be singing that around my house.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, you should. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
with our girls.
You
no
should.
Doubt.
You should. I like that guy that came in with the gravelly voice. Yeah, like underneath. Yes,
got a little Slipknot remix to that.
All right, we got a champ. We got four challengers here in the G-Bag of the Day live from Williams Chicken. And our champ's Teddy Atlas looking for four right now. You got Panthers Radio, Kyle Bailey Show, Steve Smith talking about the city of Charlotte. Dawson's line about Tovash, one of the longest running Tolos is what I meant to say. Mad Dog Russo ranting about the start
time. That ain't
time
what you're saying, though.
Not what I said.
That's not what you said.
I thought I said that.
Does he have gray sweatpants on? Did you get distracted?
I think you clipped that. I gotta go check the logger. Or is it? Or is it the youth pastor chant? That's a good. That's funny. That's definitely going viral. I'm gonna vote for Steve Smith though. How about you, Chief?
Give me Mad Dog.
We are tied at one, Lucius.
Teddy Atlas.
Teddy.
Tied at one, Wolchuk.
Yeah, I'm gonna go for Teddy here.
Brian.
Teddy Atlas.
By a score of 3-1-1, a comeback win there for Teddy Atlas. He'll look for five tomorrow, which is the goal of every G-Bag of the Day champion. You're looking for five-time status and a spot in the G-Bag of the Year. Okay, what do you think, Lucius?
Hey, virginity will definitely keep some money in your pocket, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And it'll keep you at the clinic.
Yeah. Facts. Yeah. Facts. A lot of benefits to it.
Yeah, just
save a lot of money.
Yeah. Save you a lot of money, bro. Get focused. You become something in life. Damn, I'm a doctor. Look at me.
I've got all this money to spend.
Yeah.
I mean, at some age, it does look a little dysfunctional.
Only the good die young.
What do you think's the cutoff for that? 27?
32? How old was AJ Green? Or
AC Green.
AC Green.
I think he was late 30s. I think Tebow was mid-30s, you know?
Yeah.
And salute if you have that level of discipline.
God bless
you. You know, walking with the Lord and all
soon
that.
As soon as A.C. Green got rid of that jerry curl, that's what he got. That's what he got cleaned on up.
Okay, you want to do L.A. Live next?
Yeah, that's cool.
All right, we'll get that. We'll get what are we doing?
No, I don't know.
Okay.
We'll find out.
Wolchuk, you got any baseball you want to chat?
No, let's just hit straight L.A. Live.
All right, L.A. Live coming up next. We're live at Williams Chicken, just north of 20 on Cooper. Chance to get State Fair Classic tickets if you come by. Have some dinner. We'll fellowship. We got a full hour to go before we hand it off to the Fan After Dark, and we're back with L.A. Live here in the Nation.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.